Are you ready?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, you are near. You are with us. And we know that where you are, miracle power will flow without any hindrance. And therefore, Lord, I pray for your people this morning. Power, anointing, authority. Every yoke will be broken in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, you'll save souls here. You'll heal the sick here. You'll deliver the oppressed here. And I pray you'll do wonders in the midst of your people in Jesus' name. Make this day the glorious day of total recovery. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Before you sit down, give me another good amen. We're looking at Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. As we look at the Bible, we see that God visits his people. But when God visits, you need to have a response. And therefore, we're looking at proper response to divine visitation. There's no doubt he's here. We know that his power is here. His authority is here. And he comes in great miracle working power and might. But you need to have a response so that what he wants to do on this glorious day of divine visitation, nothing will hinder you. You will receive in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 35, I'm reading from verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make thee there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Here the Lord appeared unto Jacob. It was a divine visitation for him. Just like today, it's a divine visitation for you. And the Lord instructed him. He said, you will do something. He wanted to bless him. He wanted to give him back everything he had lost. Total recovery. He wanted to break the yoke in his life. And the fear of his brother Esau. Even though they had met, Esau was still not fully settled. And the Lord wanted to settle everything. In your life this morning, the Lord has come to settle everything. Sicknesses will vanish away. Oppressions will vanish away. All the bad luck and the curse and the yoke in your life, everything is dissolved this morning in Jesus' name. That's why God came to Jacob at this time. And he said unto him, go back to Bethel. There is a place of blessing. That is the place, Bethel, where the Lord had met us before. Where the Lord had met you before. And he's saying, I want to shower my blessings upon you. I want to fill your life with every good thing. But you'll go back to Bethel. Look at verse 2 here. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. He knew that those strange gods were there. He did nothing at that time. But now because of divine visitation, there is a response you ought to have. You check up around you. You check up within you. What is it that will hinder the manifestation of the mighty power of God at this time? And then as you search, you say, I have to put that away. I have to put that away. And it is when those things are put away, God will begin to work. You will not waste time this morning. It's in your hand right there. What if you put this and this and that away that God doesn't want in your life and your family? A breakthrough will come this morning. I said a breakthrough will come this morning. And then it says, as they put that away, look at verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. The Lord has spoken to him. He said, That is a place to go. A person that will respond immediately to the word of the Lord. Respond appropriately to the word of the Lord. And respond without any modification. Here is what God had said. Return to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. And then he addressed his family and said, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're not going to modify the word of God. We're not going to change the word of God. Here is what he has said, and as we do what he has said, he will also do what he has said. Let us go back. Let us return to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God. That's exactly what God said. He said, when you get back to Bethel, you raise up an altar unto me. And Jacob said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. You're going to do what the Lord has said. I said you will do what the Lord has said. And this day, something miraculous will come upon your life. That desire you have, that expectation you have, you're going to receive this morning in Jesus' name. Look at verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands. They gave unto Jacob, they said, what a wonderful thing. When a family is totally united together and the father in the house is saying, this is what to do. And every member of the house, they said, that's exactly what we're going to do. And promptly, without wasting time, they did exactly that. That's what brings the blessings of God upon the lives of people. And I see responsive people here this morning. I see repentant people here this morning. I see the people who are going to catch their miracles. I see that here this morning. It will happen in Jesus' name. If you are blind there, your blind eyes will open. If you are lame there, you will rise up and leap up and walk and jump and run in Jesus' name. If there's any yoke upon your life, oppression upon your life, this is the day you'll be free this morning in Jesus' name. As they did that, look at verse 5 now. It says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And he did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. The end has come for enemies pursuing you. Bad luck pursuing you. Sicknesses pursuing you. Incurable happenings pursuing you. The end has come because of your proper response to divine visitation. Once again, that's what we're talking about. Divine revelation. Or divine visitation. And the Lord now wants to let us know, 1, 2, 3, what do we do? And then the miracle will arrive. I said 1, 2, 3, and then the miracle will arrive. It's coming. I said it's coming. It's coming my way. I said that miracle is coming my way. I will see it. I will have it. I will possess it. It will be mine this morning. It will be yours this morning in Jesus' name. Number one, revelation from the faithful God. Revelation from the faithful God. The Lord had promised Jacob many years before this time. He had told him, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And Jacob had been holding on to that, to those promises. And now God has come to reveal to him that the time of approval and the time of fulfillment and the time of demonstration, manifestation, performance, that time has now come. Revelation from the faithful God. Number two, repentance from following false gods. Repentance from following false gods. Because they had to do something. When God makes a revelation, it's not just that we hear the revelation, do something about that. We enjoy the revelation, do something about that. For the fulfillment of the power of God in your life, there must be a response. There must be something you do in response to what God has said. That brings us to number two, repentance from following false gods. Number three now is the recovery. That's where you are going. I said that's where you are going. Recovery for our fullness from God. The fullness of blessing. Blessing for your soul. Blessing for your spirit and blessing for your body. Recovery has come this morning in Jesus' name. Number one. What's number one again? I said number one. What's number one again? Revelation from the faithful God. Let's come back to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up. Notice that word. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Notice that you go up to Bethel. Don't just visit Bethel. That's where I want you to be. It's a house of blessing. It's a house of God. It's a house of bread. It's where God will give you everything. It says that is my divine appointment with you. There are people, they hop here, go here, and go there. The Lord is saying, I have a place of blessing. And that spiritual place of blessing, I want you to go up, not go down. There are people that go down. When somebody backslides, it's going down. When somebody goes back to the world, it's going down. When somebody goes back to Egypt, it's going down. And the Lord is saying, I want to do something in your life, but I'm waiting for you. That's why it's in your hand. Some people say, I don't know why God is waiting. I don't know why God is delaying. You are the one causing the delay. He says, I want to bless you, but you must go up. If you have gone back into sin, come up. If you have gone back into the world, come back. And if you have gone back, if you have in Egypt, in all these other places, you've gone into things that will not favor you or will not glorify God. It says, go up to Bethel and don't shift. Don't go away from there again and dwell there and make thee an altar unto God, an altar of worship, an altar of adoration. Give your life completely to glorify the Lord, that your life now is going to be glory unto the Lord all the days of your life. And it is when you do that, you're preparing yourself for the blessing of God. You're having a proper response to the divine revelation. And then the Lord says, you make an altar to that God, capital G. And it's not just every God or any God. It's the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's the God who appeared to you in the day when you were fleeing, when you were going away from the enemy that pursued you. Revelation. The Lord was telling Jacob that a lot has changed in your life. A lot has changed. When last I met you and I saw you in Bethel, there was no idol at that time. When I saw you in Bethel, and then there was a ladder going from earth to heaven, and everything was clear. There was no barrier, and there was no wall of demarcation. And you saw those angels coming up and down the ladder. And now idols are coming. Gods are coming. Because the wives that he married, they brought all those gods. And Jacob did nothing about it. And God said, this is the revelation I have for you. Go back to Bethel and dwell there. I appeared to you there before. Everything was all right. Everything was fine. Come back to Bethel. That's the revelation he's giving us today. He's saying, he wants to bless your life. He wants to touch your life. He wants to turn everything around. But if you have known the Lord before, think about when you knew the Lord many, many years ago. And all the things that have come in now, the Lord is saying, I don't approve of those things. Come back to Bethel. And it is a going up. It's an upward direction. And in this time, you'll not just come up and go down, come up and go down. Rise and fall, rise and fall. You will abide there. You will dwell there. You will stay there. You will remain there. And it is in that abiding and dwelling, in that Bethel, that will bring the blessing of God upon your life. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 4. Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That's what God was telling Jacob. That's what the Lord is telling you. He says, look back. If you have not been born, if you are not born again yet, remember your childhood days. when you were more innocent than this, when your heart was seeking after God, when your heart was panting after God, when they say unto you, let us go to the house of the Lord, you were happy. You say, I want to go and worship the Lord. And your life was not cluttered and filled with all the things that are there now. And the Lord is saying, remember those days of innocence. Remember those days of childhood and come back again. If you knew the Lord before, but now look at your life. You're now prayerless. Look at your life. You're just dabbling into this and dabbling into that. And the Lord is saying, this is not you. This is not how you were. And he says, I have some words against you. You have left your first love. You have left your first faith. You have left your first commitment. You have left your first consecration. The way you are committed to the Lord, your heart, your soul, your mind, the way you desired heavenly things, and the way you desired holy things, he said, they are not like that anymore. I have somewhat against you. What do? Now you go up to Bethel and now you dwell there. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Look at verse 5. It says, remember therefore, for whence thou art fallen. That's what he was telling Jacob. You've gone down. When somebody falls, it's gone down. But the Lord is now saying, come up. And then it says, and do and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. That's another way of saying, come back and go up to Bethel. And as you do that, the blessings of God will begin to flow again. The power of God will begin to flow again. Revelation chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 3. Revelation chapter 3. Here is the message again. Go up to Bethel. You're not in the right place spiritually now. Your heart, your life, you're not fully, completely for the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying. And he's saying in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 3. Remember therefore, for whence thou, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. It says, remember how it was. Everything you have heard, I'm sure this is not the first time you are hearing the Bible preach unto you. For the most of us, for the majority of us. And the Lord is saying, why don't you remember what you have heard about repentance? Why don't you remember what you have heard about how to live a life pleasing unto God? You know more than you do. You have not experienced everything you have heard. You have not lived up to the standard of what you have had. And the Lord is bringing you and is saying, I'm appearing to you now. This divine visitation is so that you will respond appropriately. And he says, you'll come up to Bethel and you will dwell there. He says in that verse 3 that you remember how you heard. Remember how you received. Remember what you had at that time and hold fast. Then he goes on to say, and repent. Turn around. Turn around. There are things in your life the Lord says, I don't approve of this. I don't approve of that. You might count them small. You might count them little. The Lord says, if they are little, why are you struggling? You cannot give them up. If they're so small, why can't you give them up? If you say, well, it doesn't matter. If it really doesn't matter, why can you not give them up? It is as you do that. And you say, although I've been saying, it doesn't matter. But God says it matters. And I don't want that in your life. That's why you're giving them up. And then it says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. That's suddenly. That's unexpectedly. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You will repent. I said you will repent. You return to the Lord. And when you return to the Lord, then the Lord says, I will return unto you. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. The revelation that comes from the faithful God. He's a faithful God. He wants to do for us what he has appointed is going to do. And yet he's telling us, you must go up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel, and you must dwell there. As you're hearing this word, you're examining your heart. You're examining your life. Am I in the right place spiritually? Have I done the right thing spiritually? Are there things in my life that God is pointing at and is saying, get rid of that, get rid of that. You're down, come up. You're down. In your Christian life, come up. You're down. In your devotion to the Lord, come up. You're down. In your obedience to the Lord, come up. You're down. In spiritual service, come up. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord. With all our heart, come and let us return unto the Lord. With all the determination and decision we have, come and let us return unto the Lord. You brush every other thing aside and everything that will not glorify or honor God in your life, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has turned and he will heal us. Give me a good amen there. Is done. He knows what you are going through and he says, yes, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to deliver you. But I demand this of you. You'll come back and come up to Bethel. And then he goes on to say, he has meeting and he will bind us up. Another amen there. After 2 days, will he revive us? Revival has come. In the third day, he will raise us up, and ye shall live, and ye shall live in his sight. Real life has now come. Abundant life has now come. Eternal life has now come. Once we respond in a proper way to this divine revelation, and then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord is going forth, is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain. Showers of rain will come down this morning. And then as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. That tells us very clearly about the revelation. Revelation from the faithful God. What are we going to do about that? Point number 2 now. Repent from following false gods. Let's come back to Genesis chapter 35. As the Lord had appeared to Jacob, and he said, I've appeared unto you for a purpose. I appear to you for this reason, that I want you to go up to Bethel and dwell there. Now the response, and that is repentance from following false gods. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Put away the strange gods that are among you and change your garments. Well, already Jacob knew that those things were not pleasing to God. Anything that will exalt above God, that's an idol. That's a false God. That's a strange God. There are people, they exalt person, self, themselves above God. How can you say that? Well, they obey their own opinion more than they obey the word of God. They follow their feeling more than they follow the word of God. They follow their desires more than they follow the revealed will of God. They do what pleases them rather than what pleases God. For such people, self is the God, is the idol. Other people, money is the idol. And they will do anything for money. They will endanger their lives for money. They'll endanger their families for money. They will ill-treat their wives and families, or even divorce their wives for money. They will sacrifice their children for money. They will sacrifice the lives of other people so that they can have money. That's an idol. When you can sacrifice anything, instead of sacrificing to God, instead of surrendering to God, instead of giving yourself fully to God, all you do is that you sacrifice everything you've got for money. Other people sacrifice anything to have a child. Instead of going to God and saying, God, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the one, the maker of everything, and you are the giver of every good thing. Therefore, I'm going to surrender, I'm going to submit, I'm going to yield my life to you so that you can do what you will do in my life. Instead of that, they will sacrifice anything, give up anything. If they need to give up church, they'll give up church. If they need to give up, if they think that they'll give up sound doctrine, they'll give up sound doctrine. If they need to, if they want to give up anything, they'll say, I must have this at all costs, instead of waiting for God. That has become an idol. Other people, in fact, the New Testament says, covetousness, greed. It's actually idol worship, because you're worshiping that thing you desire so much. And if there's anything in your life, the Lord is saying, look at this greed, look at this item, look at this evil thing that you concentrate and you devote your life to. And the Lord is saying, you have replaced me with those things. Then that's an idol. For other people, it is fashion. It is fashion. They cannot do without that. The worldliness has become a god. The fashion has become a god. The strange clothing, the clothing of the world has become a god. And the jewelry and everything and the cosmetics, that becomes a god. And you say, I cannot do without God. I can't do without that. I can do without God, but not without my jewelry. I can do without heaven, but I cannot do without my jewelry. Anything you exalt above the Almighty God, that becomes a god. That's why God is saying that you will repent, you will turn away. You will say, now today I realize I've exalted this above God, I've exalted that above God, I've exalted that other thing above God, and I come back to Bethel and I give them up. And that's why now look at verse 3, and let us arise and go up. That word up is very important. Let us arise and go up. In your spiritual life, you are down. In your relationship with God, you are down. In your obedience to the Lord, response to the word of God, you are down. And it says, let us go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. What did he do? Did he argue with Jacob and say, no, you are carrying this thing too far? No, that expression, I don't accept that explanation. I don't accept that this is a strange God. That's a strange God. Yes, I know I love them more than anything, but I don't accept what you have said. Look at verse 4. There was no argument. If you're going to receive the blessing of God, there'll be no argument. I will not argue. I said I will not argue. I cannot hear you. You'll say it for me to hear you. I will not argue. That's the attitude of those who are going to be blessed by the Lord. You know, the prophets, when the prophets came to the children of Israel, they didn't say what Israel wanted to hear. They said what the Lord wanted them to hear. And those people that made up their minds, yes, that's the word of the Lord. That's the revelation of the Lord. And we're going to do exactly that. Those were the people that were blessed. It is not for play. It is not a joke that God is saying, come up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel and dwell there. He wants you to now check up your life, check up everything around you and say, I understand what God is talking about. That's an idol. I'm going to get rid of it. That's a strange God. I'm going to get rid of that. I've loved that thing more than God, and I've been saying I'm worshiping God, I'm praising God and all that, and I give a lot of excuses for those things, and because I love the thing so much, I couldn't part with it. It has become a God in your life, and the Lord is saying, this day you will kick away those idols. This day you repent of those idols. This day you will reject and refuse those idols. This day you will surrender all those idols. You will bury them out of sight. They will not be in your life anymore in Jesus' name. Look at verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. Not only some, not just many. This was total repentance. They were willing that this is the day and this is the demand of the Lord. We turn away from sin. We turn away from evil. And as we turn away in proper response to the revelation of the Lord, then the blessing of the Lord will come. And it says they give up all those strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings. Watch. All their earrings, they knew their heart. They knew that that thing has become an idol. They knew it has become something they worship. They knew that it replaced God in their hearts, in their lives. The worldliness, it replaced God in their lives. And so it says, and they gave up all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them. He buried them. You'll bury all those things today. I said you'll bury all those things today. Something, you know, people go to church, they still have waistband. People go to church and they still have juju ring in their hands. People say they go to church and they hang something on the neck. People say they go to church and they have an altar in a particular place in their houses and they have an idol there. They have something there and they always, and it may be the picture of you know, the founder of your church or the founder of your synagogue or the founder of your whatever, of your religion, that you hang the picture there and you are worshiping that picture. You have faith in that picture. That picture has replaced God in your life. You will take them away. That's what God is saying. Return unto Bethel and go unto Bethel and dwell there. And it says he buried them under the oak which was by Shechem. And you will do the word of God today. I said you'd obey the word of God today. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. And there are people that they select where they want to read in the Bible. When they open a particular chapter, they say, I don't want to read that. We believe the whole Bible. I said we believe the whole Bible. Am I talking to somebody there? We believe the whole Bible. I believe. I will not run away from any part of the Bible. I said I will not run away from any part of the Bible. You know, we read the Bible and somebody gets angry and said, why are you reading that part of the Bible? Because it's the word of God. Because God wrote it to you and God wrote it to me. And it says, come up to Bethel and dwell there. And we have decided this morning we're going back to Bethel. I said we're going back to Bethel. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of refreshing. It is the place of the fulfillment of the promise of God. Come now to Isaiah chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 16. Moreover, the Lord says, not the palae. Moreover, the Lord says, this is what he's saying. He says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, pride became their God. Pride became their idol. And then he goes on to say, and they walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and missing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret paths. In that day the Lord will take away. They should have taken that away by themselves. They should have given everything up, hidden everything under the oak that was in Shechem, so that they can move on and go back to Bethel. Go up to Bethel. Because they will not do that by themselves. Because they will not voluntarily, wholeheartedly, single-mindedly do that by themselves. It says in that day, verse 18, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments, about their feet, and their curls, and their round tires like the moon, and the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, and the hornets, and the ornaments of the legs. They even put the rings now in their toes. And they put the rings now, the chains around their ankles. The Lord is saying, what's that? What's all that about? He's saying, give your heart to me, and all these things will not matter anymore. The things you have regarded as idol, the thing you have regarded as a strange god, I must have this, I must keep this. If I don't have that, I'll not be pleased, I'm not complete. He's saying, he wants the totality of your person, your spirit, your soul, and your body, and he wants you to give yourself to him wholeheartedly. It is not repentance, it's not giving up what you don't need. What's important to you? What has become a god in your life? What has become an idol in your life? He says, give it up, and then the blessings of God will come upon your life. Give me a good amen over there. It says in verse 19, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins and the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass, instead of sweet smell, instead of sweet smell. You know, there are people, all they think about is how I smell, how I look, how I am with the people. He said, how you look to me is very important. Your heart, your life, your character, your behavior. I'm preparing to get to heaven. He said, that's what's important to me. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of well set ear, baldness. And instead of a stomach, a garden of sackcloth. That's what the Lord is saying. Give it up. Anything that has become an idol, anything I must keep, I must have, I cannot remain with God and follow God. If God demands this, that's an idol. And as you give up all those idols, a miracle will come your way. I said, as you give up those idols, a miracle will come your way in Jesus' name. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I'm reading from verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 3. 1 Samuel 7 verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. That's how to come back to Bethel. You return unto the Lord with all your heart. You return to the God of heaven with all your heart. You return to the God of power with all your heart. You return to this God that is calling you back to Bethel. And you return with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And you do not modify or change the word of God. And yet Samuel came to tell them. He said, if you return, you return with all your heart unto the Lord. And put away the strange gods, children of Israel. The people who are supposed to be free. Free from sin. Free from worldliness, free from all those things of the flesh that come back to them. And Samuel told them that you will forsake all those things and put away the strange gods. Somebody says, I'm a Christian, is still into occultism. Somebody says, is a believer, is still into juju. Somebody says, is a child of God, is still into tradition. All those things, the Lord is saying, you will repent of them. You will cast them off. And today, as you do that with all your heart and all your soul, a blessing will come upon your life in Jesus' name. I'm waiting for a good amen there. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. He will deliver you. I said he will deliver you. It is as you obey the Lord, as you respond to the Lord. It's not just that God bless me, God bless me, God hear me, God do this for me. What God tells you to do, God is greater. He commands you. And you will do that. And it is as you do what the Lord has commanded you to do. Then the blessings of God will flow into your life. We're told in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, then the children of Israel did put away. You see that? That's how to be blessed. That's how to receive miracles from the hand of the Lord. When he says put away, and there's no delay. When he says put away, and there is no dilly-dallying. Put away, there is no argument. Put away, there's no modification. Put away, there is no excuse. What excuse do you have for tradition? What excuse do you have for idol worship? What excuse do you have for exalting anything in your life, even a little thing, above the name of God and the demand of God in your life? What excuse would you have when he says this has become an idol, a god unto you? Put it up. What explanation will you give? They didn't excuse themselves. Verse 4, then the children of Israel put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord. Then in verse 7, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the Philistines, when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And then they cried and said, Samuel shall pray for them. Look at verse 9. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for the children, for Israel, and the Lord heard him. We're going to pray and the Lord will hear. We're going to call on the Lord and the Lord will hear. We're going to send our supplication before the Lord and the Lord will hear in Jesus' name. If we put away everything he demands, we put away. If we go up to Bethel, if we want to dwell there, if we want to obey the words of the Lord without modification, blessing will come upon our lives this morning in Jesus' name. In verse 10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. I said the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day. And on this day, on this day, on this day, a thunder of miracles, a thunder of deliverance, that everything shakeable will shake. All those mountains, the Lord will shatter them in your life in Jesus' name. And he discomfited the Philistines, and there was meeting before Israel. This morning, you're free. This morning, if you will do what the Lord asks you to do, demands that you will do, and you will not say, no, God, don't bother me. Just work a miracle. God, don't tell me to do anything. Just work a miracle. God, don't tell me to repent. Just give me a miracle. If you will not do that, if you will say, God, you are God, you are King of Kings, and you are Lord of Lords, and you have sent your word to me, and I'm going to be obedient to your word. I surrender unto you as Lord. I surrender to you as my King. I will not bring my own opinion, my own idea. I will not try to bring my own kind of word when your word has spoken. Lord, I submit and surrender. When you do that and then you pray, something great will happen in your life. I said something great will happen in your life. I'm talking to people that I want them to show that they accept what God is saying. Something great will happen in your life. We're coming to Genesis chapter 35. Number one is the revelation. Number two is the repentance. Number three is the recovery. After repentance, recovery will come. Give me a good amen there. We're looking at chapter 35 of Genesis, and I'm reading verse 5. And the journey and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. From this day, enemies will not pursue you again. From this day, powers of darkness will not have any authority over your life again in Jesus' name. Look at the promise of God and look at the total recovery that you are going to have from Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And I'm reading from verse 12. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. It says, therefore also now, says the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. That is, you will not come this morning half-heartedly. You will not come superficially. You will not come with reluctance. You will not come grudging. You will come cheerfully. Praise the Lord. He has spoken. He is God. He is my creator. He is my redeemer. Why do I seek that my opinion should be higher than the word of the Lord this morning? Myself completely unto the Lord without reservation. Therefore, also now, says the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Let there be sorrow in your heart that you've gone astray. Sorrow in your heart that you have not been the place where God wanted you to be. Let there be sorrow, the sorrow of repentance. That you say, Lord, I'm sorry. And anybody, if you hide your sin, you will not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin, he is the one that will have mercy. He is the one that will have forgiveness. He is the one that will have salvation. Salvation does not come by just saying, okay, save me, save me. You repent. And it is out of that repentance, after that repentance, you give up sin. You give up self. You give up Satan. And then you come to the Lord with all your heart. That's how salvation will come. That's how the miracle working power of God will work in your life. And then it says you turn to him with all your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger. And of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. It tells us in verse 18 now. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. If you will turn to the Lord with all your heart, the Lord will be jealous for his people. And the Lord in verse 19, yea, the Lord will answer. I said the Lord will answer. And say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. Satisfaction will come. Healing will come. Deliverance will come. When you turn to the Lord with all your heart, no pretense, no hypocrisy, no superficiality. No, you say, okay, I raise up my hand. I belong to the Lord. When in your heart, you have not really turned away from those evil things. But he says, if you do it the way he wants, I says, I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Anybody there? I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Look at verse 20. But I will remove far off from you the northern army. I will remove far from you the northern army. That if you give yourself to the Lord, if you say, Lord, totally, completely, I give myself, all the invisible army coming from anywhere to torment your life and trouble your life, all those evil powers like an army fighting against you, everything will come to an end this morning. I will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea. And he and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea. And the sting shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. That is, if we repent, if we say, I've heard the revelation of the Lord, I give myself to the revelation of the Lord. What he demands that I repent, instead of just jittering, instead of wondering why and wondering how, I know this is the word of the Lord, and I turn from all my wicked ways. It says, as a result of that, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Look at verse 25. And I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Everything you have lost, it will return. The miracle is there in your hand. And it is when you say, I know. It's not, the Lord is not delaying. It's only waiting until I repent, until I turn, until I give myself completely, unreservedly unto him. It says, he will remember you. He will restore everything that you have lost in those years of the canker worm, and then the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Something great is coming your way. Something unthinkable is coming your way. What you have not even planned for, healing is coming. Miracle is coming. Deliverance is coming. Holiness is coming. Purity of heart is coming. Sanctification is coming. The power and the baptism in the Holy Ghost is coming. The fire that will burn every chaff out of your life, it is coming in Jesus' name. We're talking about total recovery. Total recovery. That all the lands you have lost, everything will come back. And all the heritage you have lost, everything will come back. All the spiritual life you have lost, everything will come back. All the superficiality of your life, everything will vanish away. And you will go deep into the things of God in Jesus' name. The time has now come, because he says, I'll pour it out. I'll pour it out. I'll pour it out. All the miracles we need, yes, I'll pour them out. But you must start with the revelation and then come to the repentance. And then after that repentance, there's going to be recovery this morning in Jesus' name. There will be proper response to the divine visitation. And with that proper response, something is bound to happen. I said something is bound to happen. I said something must happen. It will happen this morning in your life in Jesus' name. Are you ready for God? Then it's ready for you. I said then it's ready for you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's going to give you a chance to turn to the Lord completely with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You check up your life and the Lord is saying, see where you are today, and you will come up and come back to Bethel. Come up and come back to Bethel. The Lord is talking to you. Don't throw the word at other people. Don't throw the word at the newcomers. Don't throw the word at the invitees. Don't throw the word at the old timers. Don't throw the word at the church. It's you. The Lord is talking to this morning and he's saying, come up to Bethel. And everything that is a strange God in your life, anything that is a strange God in your family, anything that you know that this is not the will of God, it wants you to cast everything away. And you are making up your mind, I surrender to Jesus. My heart, I surrender. My will, I surrender. My opinion, I surrender. My own ways, I surrender. And if you are there this morning and you are saying, I want total recovery, and I know I must repent before that total recovery will come, wherever you are, heads bowed and eyes closed, you will raise up your hand and that total recovery will come in your life. Wherever you are saying, yes, Lord, I understand. You have spoken to me. I have discovered things I exalt in my life above God. Things I exalt in my life above the will of God. And I turn away from them today. Wherever you are, where are you? You raise up your hand. You say, now I come completely to Christ. Fully, wholeheartedly. If you are, you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior, you are turning away from sin. You are turning away from the drunkenness and from the stealing and from the fornication, from the adultery, from every evil thing, from tradition, from juju and everything. And you are saying, all my heart, I come now. I come to the Lord. You raise up your hand if that is your desire. You raise up your hand. If you are raising up your hand, can you stand up? If you are raising up your hand, can you stand up? I want to come to Christ right now. I want to come to Christ right now. You stand up wherever you are, in the front, at the back, anywhere. This is the time of repentance. It's the time of calling upon the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I will remove all those things from my life. Those idols, they will not control my life anymore. Greed will not control my life anymore. Covetousness will not control my life anymore. I surrender. I give myself to the Lord. If you have known the Lord before, but now you know you are a backslider. You know what you are doing behind the curtain. You know what you are doing in secret. And the Lord is saying, you are not where you ought to be spiritually. And he's saying, come up to Bethel. Come up to Bethel. Come up to Bethel. And leave that far country like a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. Wherever you are, you raise up your hand and also stand up. You're saying, Lord, we come. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Anywhere you are, just stand up and say, yes, Lord, I am here. I come today with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I will not turn back to my sin anymore. I will not turn back to the world anymore. I will not turn back to juju anymore. I will not turn back to tradition anymore. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Stand up wherever you are, and the blessing of salvation and the blessing of restoration will come upon your life today. Praise the Lord. If you are raising up your hand and you are standing, we're going to pray right now. I'm believing that in your heart while you're standing, you have given up all those things. You have said, whatever the Lord commands, I'm going to do. Whatever the Lord says, put away, I'm going to put away. And whatever the Lord has said, repent of, I repent of them, I come to Christ. Close your eyes. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. We come to you right now. All these who are standing and they're saying, Lord, we surrender. Heart, soul, spirit, mind, life, destiny. We put everything now at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive them in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, all those who are backsliding and they're coming back home, receive them in Jesus' name. Forgive their sin. Forgive their sin. Give them the grace to go and live in righteousness from now on in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. We know you have saved. We know you have restored. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Another amen. This is standing, keep on standing. Our counselors are there, and the counselors will come to you and they will write down your name and will follow up on you. And you are not ashamed that now you are coming back to Bethel. And you have come back to Bethel. As you have come back to Bethel, the Lord will stay with you, grant you grace. You will not go back to the world and to sin, to tradition, to evil anymore in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, I call on our state overseer now to direct our counseling, and after that we'll pray for total recovery. Miracles are taking place here this morning. something wonderful is coming your way. Something marvelous is coming your way. Get ready. As you stretch out the hand like this, you will touch miracle. As you raise up the hand like this, you will touch miracle. As you hear the mention of the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name above cancer, the name above blindness, the name above paralysis, I mention that name against your problem, it will vanish away in Jesus' name. I see blind eyes getting open. I see the lame rising up and walking. I see curse, I see yoke being broken in your life. I see freedom. I see deliverance. I see power coming upon your life. I see you coming out and giving testimony. Praise the Lord, something is coming. I said, praise the Lord, something is coming. I said, praise the Lord, something is coming. That power will touch you. That power will shake away everything shakable out of your life in Jesus' name. Mountains are melting down. Evil spirits are running away. Now we're going to pray. Get ready. Remember, it's as close to you as your hand. As close to you as your hand. You raise up one hand. You lay the other hand upon yourself. It's happening right now. And when you hear the final amen, you check up, you'll not find that thing anymore in Jesus' name. Are you ready?
Yes.
I said, are you ready?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
we thank you because this is a glorious day. This is a mighty day. This is a miracle-working day. Oh Lord, I come on behalf of your people. Touch them in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Oh Lord, I pray the windows of heaven will open right now. All the doors will open right now. Rains of miracle, rain of wonders, rain of signs, rain of the miraculous, and rain of power, rain of healing, rain of deliverance. Bring it down in Jesus' name. That evil spirit, evil power there, I command you. Come out in Jesus' name. Insanity, you are brought here, they chained you up. I command that madness right now. I command that insanity right now. Come out in Jesus' name. That swelling of goiter there, you have no right to be there. I speak the word of power and authority against you. Come out in Jesus' name. I command that swelling in your tummy, that fibroid over there, that tumor over there, elephantiasis there, hunchback there, I speak the word of power against you right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Those deaf ears there, hear the word of the Lord. Deaf ears, you will open. Dumb tongues will be loose. I command that spirit of deafness, come out in Jesus' name. And that dumbness, I command you right now, be used. Be free right now. And begin to speak out clearly in Jesus' name. Lord, I command those who have cancer. Cancer will not destroy your life. I take authority over that swelling of cancer, that pain of cancer. I command that cancer be healed in Jesus' name. I command that ulcer right now, the pain of ulcer, you will not remain there. This is your final moment there. The next minute, you are not supposed to be there. Ulcer, come out in Jesus' name. I command that tuberculosis and every form of cough in your life, that thing will vanish away. Be healed. Be delivered in Jesus' name. All the evil spirits and evil past tormenting your life, walking about at your back, holding your spine, holding your head, holding your destiny, all that evil spirit, evil power, I command you, come out in Jesus' name. Blind eyes, your time has come. Glaucoma, your time has come to leave. Cataract, your time has come to leave that place. All that cataract, all that glaucoma, all that blindness, I command you, come out in Jesus' name. The bandage of the devil that blocks your vision, I remove that bandage. The bandage of the devil that keeps you in darkness, I remove that bandage. Open your eyes and see in Jesus' name. All those who are paralyzed, one leg shorter than the other, I give the word of decree and command. Short leg, go out in Jesus' name. The pain of arthritis, you have no right to be there. I command you right now, be healed in Jesus' name. And those who had accidents and your bones were broken, let those bones join together right now. Broken bones, join together right now. Broken bones, I command you, join together in Jesus' name. And those who are weak in their spine, weak in their waist, weak in their backbone, I pray strength will come. Power will come. The anointing that breaks the yoke will come. Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those who have had oppression in the night, oppression in their lives, in their families, and those things walking about, moving about on the ceiling. I give the word of authority right now. Evil spirit, evil power, you have no right to remain there. Come out in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray everyone here, you have promised us recovery. You have promised us deliverance. You have promised us healing. Lord, distribute your miracle everywhere. To the right, miracle. To the left, miracle. To the front, miracle. In the middle over there, miracle. At the back, there, miracle. In the hall, there, miracle. Miracle everywhere in Jesus' name. Healing everywhere. Deliverance everywhere. Signs and wonders everywhere. Lord, confirm it right now. Confirm it right now. Confirm it right now. In Jesus' name I pray. It is done. I said it is done. I said it is done. Check up yourself. The miracle is there right now. Check up yourself. The miracle is there right now. You are the one that will give testimony. There's a miracle right there with you.